Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Have you ever thought about how poverty touches nearly every part of a community? It's more than just one issue. It's this huge, interconnected challenge. And fixing it takes so much more than Band-Aid solutions. Today's guest understands the big picture of the cycle of poverty and shows us how vision, compassion, and action rooted in human kindness can create lasting change. Sue Byrne has served as the executive director at York Street Project in Jersey City, New Jersey, for the past 16 years. York Street Project provides housing, education, and critical support services to women and children, creating pathways out of poverty. Sue's leadership embodies the belief that a little kindness, paired with determination and resources, can transform entire communities. Welcome to the podcast, Sue Byrne.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Sue, can you tell us a little bit about York Street Project?
Sure. So, you know, the mission of the York Street Project, you know, is designed to provide like an innovative, weaving of programs that, you know, provide families living in poverty and experiencing homelessness, as well as individuals, you know, opportunity for shelter, for food, for education. And it was really designed to kind of promote the healing of persons in need. Like that is, because that's kind of the biggest part, right? There's the homelessness is an issue. Poverty is an issue. And what you see a lot in this ecosystem is this idea that, you know, ending homelessness doesn't necessarily mean ending poverty. Mm. And at York Street, we really believe that it should, right? That poverty is the issue, and that when people, you know, that homelessness is a symptom of poverty. And so we feel very strongly that while the bulk of our programming is different types of housing supports, it is the supportive services that we offer to our families that really make the difference.
Hmm. And can you give an example of those supportive services?
Sure. You know, we do comprehensive case management. We do mental health supports. We do employment and training supports, life skills, parenting, kind of you name it. Like we try and provide it to the families that we serve. It's, you know, people, they need education and training in order to get a good job. And, you know, they need a good job in order to afford to live any place, really, right? Like, we're located in Jersey City, New Jersey, which I read an article about 6 months ago was apparently one of the most expensive places, saw the highest increase in rents in the entire country. Mm. You know, Jersey City did. It is an incredibly expensive state to live in, and it's an incredibly expensive city to live in. And so, you know, we know, right, like employment, that is the key to getting people out of poverty. But there's a lot that goes into that. People need to they need to have skills, but not just job skills, right? They need to have the interpersonal skills to be able to keep a job. Mm-hmm. They need to understand how to plan and kind of make advanced preparations for times when maybe their kids are sick or their kids' school is closed. You know, there's a lot more than just getting somebody a job that goes into getting them, you know, gainfully employed and really helping to break that cycle of poverty. Because what we have, you know, we see a lot, and we've been around for 35 years, so we've seen it, you know, within our own doors, unfortunately, is that people who were homeless as children very often repeat that cycle and become homeless as adults. And so then here we have these kids who lived at York Street as kids, and now they're back and they're adults with kids of their own, and you know, and they are still struggling. But the good news is we have also seen a lot of cases where that doesn't happen and that cycle does not repeat itself again. We actually, a couple of years ago, had a staff person who lived with us as a child, and she came back as a case manager because she just felt like she remembered being there as a kid, and it was really important to her to kind of give back to the local community and try and help people who were in circumstances like her own. Several of our current staff people are former clients, you know, people who lived here with their children and left here went back to school or, you know, went into some type of training program, and, you know, we've hired them, you know, in all different roles.
That's neat. You say you've been around for 35 years. You have been there for 16 years. So that's essentially half of the lifespan.
Well, here's a crazy thing. So yes, I've been executive director for 16 years. I've actually worked here since 1998.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I started out as an administrative assistant in the Child Development Center. Then I moved over to be a case manager in our housing programs. And so I was a case manager. I was an admin for 2 years, case manager for 8 years. And then I left for a year and took a job with Hudson County's Department of Health and Human Services, and then came back.
And what inspired you to get involved with York Street Project?
It's a kind of a funny story. I was living down in Long Beach Island, which is like a coastal town here in New Jersey. And I was writing for one of the local newspapers. I volunteered for a year out of college, and I was down in Costa Rica teaching English as a second language to like grade school kids. I came back. I had spent a couple summers with my friends from college in LBI, and a friend of mine who works and lives there year round had reached out to me because he knew that I was an English and creative writing major in college. So he said, oh, there's a job at one of the newspapers if you're like looking for something to do. So I applied. I got that job. Stayed down there through like the following winter. And then the next summer was working at the newspaper still, and got a call from a woman who had a home in LBI that she donated to York Street to bring some of the Child Development Center, the nurturing place, to bring some of their kids down for like a week during the summer, you know. And at that point, yeah, you know, so this is 1998, right? Cell phones weren't super popular. You know, the internet was around, but not like it is now. Like, kids didn't have the same type of exposure to things then that they have now. And so, you know, for a lot of these kids, like, they'd never seen the ocean before. They never, you know, like, it was. So she wanted someone at the newspaper to do a story about this. So I went to the editor, and she's like, well, if you want to do, because I thought, I was like, wow, this sounds like awesome. What a great, like, you know, I'd done some fun stories, but nothing like this, right? You know, like, it was so, wow. I said, well, she said, if you want to do it, but I'm not going to sign it to anybody else. So I reached back out to the woman. I said I would do it. And, you know, she had me come to her house, like, and get materials to learn about the organization ahead of time, and then told me to come on a day where the program's director was going to be there. And so it turned out that was like my day off. It was the day the newspaper went to print, because it was a weekly paper. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll go in the morning, do what I got to do, and then, you know, all the rest of my day, it's not a big deal. And I ended up spending like the entire day with them. Like, I was there. I got back to my house. It was probably like, you know, 8 o'clock at night. My roommates were like, where have you been? Like, where? And I was like, I met the most amazing people. Like, you're not gonna, it was, you know, just, you know, like, from the, you know, I met her, I met, you know, Sister Barbara. She was the director of the nurturing place at the time. Several of her staff were there. They had like a whole bunch of these kids, and these kids were just amazing. And like, you know, it's yeah, it just really had a great day and felt like a real connection with them and with the organization. And when I was leaving that after, you know, that evening, Barbara said to me, she said, well, what are you, because it turned out like she and I knew some people in common. She actually knew my uncle. She knew my father from like different circles. And so, because I was from the same county that she was from. And so she says to me, well, you know, what are you doing after the summer? And I was like, I'm not really sure yet. I said, you know, my parents, which is true, had been saying like, you need to like leave the beach, get a job that's going to give you some health insurance, and just, you know, yeah, like, no more of this. It's time to do something with that degree that you have. So she said that, you know, they had an administrative position that was going to be opening in the end of August. And was that something I would be interested in? And so I ended up coming up here and interviewing for the position. And that's how I started working here. And
wow,
it just, yeah, you know, like when you talk about human kindness and how it spreads, like, right, like I think about this woman, her name was Irene Mena, and she was the one who had the house down in LBI. And it turned out like she was an associate member of the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Joseph of Peace. They're the ones who sponsored the York Street Project.
Okay.
And so they founded it, you know, they sponsored it. when I became executive director, I was like the first layperson in a leadership role in this organization. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the sisters ran this place for a very long time. And but like, you know, you had people like Irene and others who really like donate their time, donate their homes, you know, donate their money, donate, you know, like whatever they have to give, they're happy to give it because, you know, people matter, right? Like everybody matters. It's, and that's how I always felt, you know, I felt it that day at the beach with them. And I felt it, you know, every day since I started working here, you know, 26 years ago, is that, you know, like for everybody who works here, you know, like they understand it, like, you know, the people we're serving matter. The people who work here matter. Our donors matter, our volunteers, right? And it's, I think it is that shared concern and caring for humanity that really helps places like York Street succeed, right? Because everyone who comes here with a story, and their story matters.
Yeah.
And every story is different. And, you know, there's none that are like better or worse or more deserving or less deserving. You know, people are human and
yeah,
humans, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody sometimes might make bad choices. Sometimes bad choices are pushed upon people against their will. And that happens too. And mm-hmm. we see all of that here. And so to have been given for me the opportunity to work at this place for as long as I have, I do feel very blessed. Because I do get to see, right? You see some of the worst when you hear these stories and what some of these, you know, individuals and women and children have gone through. Like you see the worst in humanity, but you also get to see the best in humanity when you know, mm-hmm. you watch people who come in and just want to help. You know, they don't want anything in return. They just want to help people who may need their help in that moment.
That's so beautiful. I think about when you're talking, I think about this common thread that we have, and it's just our shared humanity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you're saying, we all go through hard stuff. And I think most of us are one tragedy away from being in a horrible position.
Absolutely.
Right? And you don't get to control that. And having that kind of compassion, seeing the dignity in your fellow human being, that everybody has this intrinsic value that's inherent, you know, that's God-given. And my value is not different than your value or the people you're serving or my next door neighbor. And that I think that gift to see people is key.
Yeah, no, it is. And what you're saying about any one of us being, you know, like one tragedy away, it is so true. I have a niece, she is going to be 30 next year. She, you know, my sister is 47. So, no, 46. So she was, Jane was 16 when she, you know, gave birth to Brooke. And, you know, my parents supported them, did mm-hmm. what they could. And, you know, Brooke is now married and she's having a baby next year. And my sister did not marry Brooke's dad. She married somebody else. She has three more kids. Like, everybody is blessed and wonderful. And that could have been a very, very different story if any number of things had happened differently, right? Like it was, and I always think about that, right? Like there, but for the grace of God go I, because, you know, mm-hmm. bad things happen to good people all the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's not much that, you know, it's out of your control.
Yeah. You shared a little bit, but do you have a specific story or a specific woman or child that has been through that program that comes to mind when we think about human kindness transforming someone's life through York Street?
Yeah, there's a bunch, but I think one in particular that always stands out to me was a woman. She was here probably about like 12 years ago, I want to say, and she was here with her son, and her parents had substance use disorder. She had been homeless and in and out of shelters as a child. You know, her parents weren't even together. Like, she was kind of all over the place. She had a really, really, really tough upbringing. And I want to say she's maybe about 20 years old when she came to York Street. She had finished high school, but, you know, she said like she really wanted to be a nurse, right? That was like her goal in life, was to be a nurse. And she was able to stay. She was in our transitional housing program, and she was able to stay with us for about 18 months. And we were able to secure her a housing voucher when she left. And during her time with us, she did start going to school part-time. Then she got a job at the post office. And she was kind of like, well, this is a good job. Like, it pays me well. It gives me benefits. So she continued going to school part-time while also working at the post office. And she did that probably for, I want to say maybe like 8-9 years. You know, it took her a while. But before she was getting close to finishing school, and she wasn't still, but she was still working full-time at the post office. And by that point, she was earning enough money where she felt like she was okay, like she didn't need that housing voucher anymore. And, you know, a lot of people, especially if you've been, if you've experienced homelessness, and there is a huge lack of a safety net here.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, like the Jersey City Housing Authority, they do great work, but their Section 8 waiting list, you know, doesn't open usually maybe once every 10 years.
Wow. They'll
open that thing up for a week or 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, well, because they get so many applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So many applicants. And so it takes them that long to like work through the waiting list that they build up in the 2 weeks that they open it.
Wow.
So anyways, even though she was still income-wise eligible to stay on Section 8 to keep that voucher, she made the decision to give it up voluntarily because she's like, you know what? I know there's people out there who need this more than I do right now.
Wow.
And I'm almost done with school and I have a secure job and I'm making it enough money to afford my rent, my other expenses. But rather than holding on to that, like as her safety net, she gave it up voluntarily and let it go so that somebody else who really needed it could use it.
Wow.
And she has since, she's since finished school. She's working as a nurse full time now, which is wonderful. She got married a couple years ago. Yeah, you know, she's doing, her son is, he's in high school right now, you know, kind of finishing up. I believe might be a senior now, which is crazy. But
that's beautiful.
It is. And she actually spoke for us at one of our events a few years back. And that's where I had found out that she had voluntarily given up the housing voucher. And, you know, and that's what said. She's like, but she's like, that's what I learned here, right? Was that you need to help out people around you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about you. You need to be able to help out and lend a hand to those around you. And you know, she said, I remember saying, she's like, you know, I was a baby when I came here. Like, you guys like taught me how to be a mother. You like, you taught me how to be a grown up. So I love that story. The fact that, you know, it's, nobody would have blamed her for holding on to that voucher as long as she could.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was just like, you know, she really felt she was stable enough and was ready to let it go.
Yeah, that's a huge success and a testament to her kindness. So our listeners are generally people who want to make a difference, but just don't really know where to start, or they're involved, but they want to be more involved. What advice would you give to listeners who want to make a difference specifically around this topic of breaking the cycle of poverty?
You know, I think finding organizations that focus on that as part of their mission, right? Like, ending homelessness is it's a critical mission and it's really valuable. And it does go hand in hand with breaking the cycle of poverty. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, like I said, for York Street, like when we were working on our strategic plan last year, right? And we kind of, I raised this question to stakeholders, to the staff, to the board. I'm like, you know, where do we want to really push this focus? And everyone agreed they wanted to keep it on, you know, breaking that cycle of poverty, because it's not just about getting somebody housed. It's about getting them stable. It's about improving their quality of life. It's about improving the quality of life for their children and all the generations that come after them. So how people can get involved, you know, there's a couple different ways. One, obviously volunteering, reaching out to local organizations that do this type of work. Not going to lie, monetary donations are always very much appreciated and very much needed. And another thing is just keeping yourself educated on topics, right? Like, we're going to see a lot of changes coming in this next administration, and making sure that people are reaching out to their elected officials and doing advocacy work for the topics, for things that are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I know for me, that is going to be a real big focus, right? Making sure that these the housing vouchers, you know, please don't cut those, you know, that there is still funding, you know, for to support childcare for low-income kids, that there's funding to, you know, mm-hmm. for these programs that are designed as safety net programs that are considered discretionary funding at the federal level, right? So trying to make sure that some of these programs that do so much good for so many families, you know, I understand there is a lot of waste in government spending, and I am all for doing what we can to stop that. But these programs are not wasteful spending. You know, they really change the trajectory of people's lives every day.
And thus our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sue, if listeners want to connect with you or learn more about York Street Project, where can they find you online?
So we're at yorkstreetproject.org. That's the main website. My email is sbyrne, B-Y-R-N-E, at yorkstreetproject.org, all spelled out, which is a very long email, but that is what it is. And, you know, we're on most of the social media sites. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn. So yeah, they can find us. We're not too hard to find. York Street Project in Jersey City.
That's great. And I'll have all that in the show notes as well. Sue, thank you so much for being with us today and just talking a bit about human kindness at work through York Street Project. I think your compassionate leadership and the dignity that you offer women and children coming through your program is really inspiring. So thank you for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love to hear your story, whether it's an act of kindness you've received or one you've been a part of giving. Just visit humankindnessatwork.com and click on Share a Story. You never know. Your story could inspire others to be a part of human kindness at work in their world. See you next time.